A quick survey of the politics and the lay of the land here in America, and you begin to wonder if we aren't, in fact, living under tyranny. And that is actually the title of today's message, Living Under Tyranny. But today, we're going to take a look at a tyranny that is quite decided. I mean, you can make arguments for and against here today, but back in Daniel chapter 3, it's quite certain there is a tyranny that folks are living under. And we'll explore that today and tomorrow. We invite you to join us. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Again, Daniel chapter 3 is where we catch up with Pastor Chris for today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
Well, I invite you to turn this morning to Daniel chapter 3 as we continue our study in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3 this morning, and we'll give our attention to this fascinating chapter. Let's hear the word of the Lord. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace." Therefore, as soon as all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, all the peoples, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "But I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire, and the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not any power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses laid in ruins. For there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. There's the reading of God's word. Well, it may be helpful to rehearse just a few of the key points that we have developed in this study so far. Key themes that we have learned that are emphasized in the book of Daniel. And one of those great truths is that we've seen God is absolutely sovereign in all the affairs of the nations. He doesn't simply look at Israel. He doesn't simply look at the particular nation in the earth. He is sovereign over all the affairs of all the nations in the earth. And he appoints their rulers and determines their times as he sees fit. That was something I said last week, that God appointed Joe Biden. God appointed Donald Trump. God appointed Barack Obama. All of that is said, Romans 13, all these authorities that are put in place, God has determined. This is what we're seeing in the book of Daniel. This is what Daniel prayed about and recognized in God's sovereignty. And that God is turning the times and the seasons. As we've looked at in Providence, the good times and the difficult times, the times of prosperity and the times of poverty, all those things are in the Lord's hand, and he is turning these things for the great purpose. Another key thing that we've seen that the book of Daniel really develops to showcase in his timing the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the only kingdom that will stand eternally, the only kingdom that cannot be toppled through this king who lives and reigns over all and whose kingdom shall have no end. Every kingdom of this world is crumbling, fading away. None of them will stand. Think of the most mighty kingdoms in the earth today who are strong. Tomorrow they will not be. This is the message we saw last week. God, that's what was shown to Nebuchadnezzar last week in his dream. Daniel was amazed that God showed to Nebuchadnezzar the visions of his head when Nebuchadnezzar didn't even understand them. And remember that vision. The powerful figure was put before Nebuchadnezzar in his dream. A head of gold that symbolized his kingdom, Babylon. And then you had a chest and arms of silver, and a belly and thighs of bronze, and legs of iron with feet partly of iron and partly of clay. It's an image that showed strong and grew weaker and weaker and weaker until this stone struck the image and it blew away in the wind. And we looked at who those kingdoms were last time. We looked at that head of gold representing Babylon, then to the Medes and the Persians, and then to the Macedonian kingdom of Greece, remember, and then to Rome, where the kingdom of God came into history with the person and the work of Jesus Christ. That's the image. And that's the vision that Daniel explained last time. That was important. It showed that Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom was just temporary. That's what it showed. Just temporary. Just a little spot in the map for a time. And after all of that, all these other kingdoms would in a sense weaken until the glorious kingdom would come in. That would be like a mountain over all the earth. We considered that last time of the kingdom of Christ. Well, now what we have today is Nebuchadnezzar's response to all this. Whatever the case, the message is clear. God, in times of persecution and opposition, is putting on display his wisdom, his power, his might to undermine what's happening when kingdoms overexert themselves, as we've been looking at. This is immensely comforting. This is what should comfort us in our times, for the Lord wants us to see that always throughout history, as I'm trying to maintain in this study, that in the periods of great darkness, then are we ready to see light. That's how it's always been. You see the light in the darkness, and you see it in surprising ways in which God works. Well, that's what we're looking at briefly here this morning. All of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar reacts to all this, and he imposes a tyrannical law, an unjust law. Daniel's friends then are highlighted in their righteous disobedience, and the Lord intervenes in his wonderful deliverance. So we're going to look at that today briefly here. Chapter 3 is a significant moment in the book, significant in chapter 3 of what happens as Nebuchadnezzar's response. What we read here in chapter 3, and there really shouldn't be a break. I mean, there probably was some time here as Nebuchadnezzar thought about this whole thing. But however much time passed, there's a connection here that Daniel wants us to see, that Nebuchadnezzar then goes and he makes a massive golden image. Its height was 60 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits. That is 90 feet. 90 feet. I don't like to ask questions in the middle of the sermon, but Brent, how high is this? 45. It gives you some perspective here. 90 feet. He sets it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So Nebuchadnezzar gathers all the authorities in the kingdom. And you'll notice here that all the great rulers of the kingdom, all the lesser magistrates, the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the magistrates, the treasurers, the justices, all the officials, and they come up to this giant dedication service. It's a dedication service to the image that Nebuchadnezzar has set up. They're celebrating. They're dancing. This is a great moment in Babylon. A great thing has happened. By the way, you can't help but to think here, is this deja vu for Israel? They made their own golden image and danced around it. Now the whole thing's imposed on them in Babylon. They stood up before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and the herald proclaimed. So they have a preacher that they set up in the midst of this. A preacher begins to proclaim. This is supposed to be good news, I guess. You are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages. When you hear the sound of all the great. I mean, this was the best instrumental worship service you could ever get. Pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, every kind of music. Whenever you hear it, you are to bow down and you are to worship the image that Nebuchadnezzar has set up with this great clause that whoever doesn't, fall down and worship. Notice the language, immediately. You will go into the fiery furnace. Can you imagine that scenario? What if a golden image of America were set up? somewhere in Washington, D.C. And it was draped with American flags. And every day the call was, you are to bow down and aim your worship at the direction of this image. You are to bow down to it. You know, I just was kind of stunned the other day driving through Central Escondido, and I passed a house that the whole thing is draped in American flags and images of Donald Trump. The whole thing. I mean, if it were an HOA, I think that would cause a problem. You know, it was a startling corner. I guess at night they say it's lit up. It's like Christmas. Imagine if such devotion was commanded, and that you are to make the greatest object of your loyalties in this life America and its greatness right now. And you are to bow to it. Your first allegiance is to America. You will praise America. You will bow to America. You see what Nebuchadnezzar did in a spirit of total patriotism. He commanded their loyalty, and he commanded them to worship Babylon. You know where the image was set up? In the plain of Dura. That is the exact location of the Tower of Babel. Did you know that? He puts it right where Babel used to be. Come, they said, let us build a city and a tower whose top shall reach the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over all the face of the earth, lest our kingdom fall. It was direct rebellion in the state to challenge the dream, to challenge the vision. With a spirit of autonomy, they were rebelling. I think you can make the case that all the tyranny we've seen throughout history comes down to the point that when you see tyranny, and when you can go through history and see some really bad points of tyranny in kingdoms, and it's confusing for us, especially when a lot of people die, it comes down to this point that they know their kingdoms are weakening. I think you can make the case that when it's healthy, you don't see this as much. But when the kingdoms are weakening, they move to control and wield power to control the masses. They're desperately grasping for control and to hold on to the sinking ship. Nebuchadnezzar just had a dream revealed to him that his nation would fall. That was the heart of the dream, and that his glory would not continue. You know, think of Egypt. You know, we still dig up the bodies of these greats over there who believed that their glory would continue in their kingdoms into the afterlife. They all believe this. So what does he do in response? Is he erects, in a desperate attempt to keep the glory of Babylon from crumbling, he erects this massive image. The dream only showed Nebuchadnezzar with a head of gold. Nebuchadnezzar makes a 90-foot image of all gold of Babylon. That's the direct challenge. And I think that's important, why I asked last week, you know, to which is our ultimate allegiance? To which and who, what kingdom is our ultimate allegiance? We talk about the good of the city we talked about last time. I'll come back to that. But notice here, behind all this is so much demonic activity that the evil one would love to have as your primary drive in life, all of your devotion, all of your loyalty, everything given to Babylon. There's something also interesting here. What did Nebuchadnezzar do when the dream was revealed to him? He gave lip service to the praise of the king. I find that fascinating that comes right before this. Daniel revealed his dreams, and Nebuchadnezzar belts out, truly, your God is the God of God and the Lord of kings and the revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. Did he believe that? You ever watch presidents get up and put on the show? Some have held Bibles, but they've not been in worship on the Sabbath. All of our presidents, to some degree, this was the common thing to do. Give lip service to the king. Did they believe it? Or were we just happy to hear it? It's all for show. It's all for show. If it weren't for show, the idolatry would be removed, right? Now, I think we have to consider for a minute what happened here up to this point. There had been no opposition in Babylon. Remember, Jeremiah said last week, go ahead, build houses in Babylon, plant vineyards, enjoy the works of your hands, build your families in Babylon, eat off the fruit, build vineyards, enjoy life as my people separate in Babylon. And then at the appointed time, I'm going to bring you home. I'm bringing you to Jerusalem again. That's why that psalm, difficult as it may have been, A for effort, it was great. That's why that psalm's important. Because Jerusalem is held out for us. I'll bring you home. That didn't sound like too bad of a deal up to this point. Judah had been given free exercise of religion. All until now, there's one, think about this, one lawless, tyrannical decree in a moment. Everything had been okay. You could handle it. In one moment, everything was pulled out from under them, and now it would test them. Now I want to say, can you imagine the confusion and the fear here? You know, if you're sitting at home with your children, and you just heard this law come down, and all of a sudden, we've got to go out tomorrow and bow down to an image. What do we do? Do we do it? Well, I want to say there must have been a lot of fret. But then I started thinking, have they been so assimilated into Babylon that it didn't bother too many people? See, the response here is to a grab for power. They're grabbing for power. And what we have and what we've seen throughout history is that when you have attempts to grab for power, it's intricately tied to the natural tendency of the human heart to worship something. History has proven that what happens is that there's often a replacement with another religion, and where there are spiritual forces of darkness backing it, there comes a demand of allegiance in the form of worship.
Well, we are out of time today. We'll close today's program out, but look forward to seeing you next time we get together as we continue our studies here in God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon here on Abounding Grace. Questions, comments about the program, we always are delighted when you take a moment and reach out to us. You can do so by email, questions@agradio.org. Again, questions@agradio.org. Now, that may be the address, but you are more than welcome to send along suggestions, comments, praise reports, prayer requests, not just questions alone. Again, you can reach us at questions@agradio.org. You can learn more about us at agradio.org. Also, listen to past radio programs. Again, that's agradio.org. Or call us, 888-504-8805. Again, that's 888-504-8805. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Visit our website for those links to the platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. And then, as always, we are excited when our listening audience comes alongside of us financially, prayerfully, to help support the radio program. This is a listener-supported broadcast, and we are able to reach most of the United States as well as North Africa through your faithful partnership with us financially and prayerfully. We look forward to hearing from you and trust the Lord to direct you along those lines. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.